I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
The Nightside Project. As long as I'm with you guys, I'm always in the fake good place.
Nightside on KSL. A limited edition spring season.
It's weird, though, doing the show while we're miles apart.
That's actually my favorite part. I cannot social distance myself from you enough.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
All right, welcome on into the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Carey. Thanks so much for being a part of the show, the special limited edition spring season of the Nightside Project.
What's
it's
up,
Friday.
Bro? It's Friday.
It's Friday.
Feeling good about it?
Yeah, you know, it's fine. More and more people are starting to pay attention to what day it is. So, you know, for those
now
of you
who...
Now
we have to update people.
Yeah, for those of you who, for whom the days of the week are still important, today's Friday. So congratulations. Well done. You made it through this week.
That's right.
Hopefully you're looking forward to 7 or 8 hours of yard work tomorrow. So
that's a lot of yard work. But, yeah, I'm one of those people. I like the lines on the yard, you know? I like to see what it looks like with the lines on the yard. So
can I tell you something, Alex?
Yeah.
I got a new lawnmower.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Is it one of those electric ones?
No. I thought about that, but I was looking for super low price point.
Still burning.
I was like,
this
has got to be as cheap as possible. And but maybe my next one will be electric
because
they are cool. And I like the idea of having the same battery like for your lawnmower. And various other things.
Right,
so,
sure. You couldn't think of any other yard things? You're like, battery for the lawnmower and, you know, other stuff. Like
your Walkman.
I don't know, the car.
I got it. And it's not a great, phenomenal lawnmower. It's a good lawnmower. But I'll tell you why it's special to me.
Should I be playing some music for you? I don't know.
This lawnmower is special to me because... I will probably never use it.
Now that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You have your wife mowing the lawn for you now. That's good for you.
My 9-year-old daughter.
Oh, okay.
No, I've got a boy in high school and a boy in junior high, and
you're
and
like a. I'm going to say something though. You're like a couple years late though on this, right?
They started taking responsibility for the lawn really last year. It kind of at the end of the season.
Yeah, it's
I kept
fun,
them
isn't
off it for a while. I was like, no, man, this is my job.
They just have to have good training. You know, like don't leave a mohawk in the middle of the yard, that kind of thing. It's all good. The trimming is the hard one because that's the one where they'll dig into the dirt with the trimmer line. You know,
yeah.
And you're like, okay, I love your effort, but let's let Dad do the trimming. All right, so we've got things to kick off the show with here, Ethan. Mm-hmm. Now that we're at yellow, I want to know what people have changed about what they're doing now differently. 57500 to the Utah Community Credit Union text line here at KSL. You could text us in 57500. Tell us if it changed with anything that you've done today. Ethan, I saw notable difference in people that are on the road. I saw people out at retail places, retail businesses that weren't open last week even. But anticipated having some openings this week.
Yeah.
Definitely had it happen again now where you saw people repeating this like, okay, I'm going to go back to kind of normal here. Except for this. I went to a grocery store in that same area of this grocery store. There are a lot of shops there. Okay. So I'm walking out from the grocery store, which has its own open and close kind of place. It has, or it says, here's where you enter, here's where you exit. I come out of the exit. Right by the exit is the entrance to the Nike outlet store.
Okay.
And it was 150 people in line.
Oh, you're kidding.
Right. And they were, to their credit,
Social distancing?
Well, they were doing who came in, who came out, and they were kind of counting it up.
Oh, I see.
But
okay,
that's how many people were like, I'm going to Nike today, man. They've only been open a couple days this week. And they were like, we're going. It did not interest me at all to be one of those 150 people in line outside. But I will throw kudos to them and the shop that was next door to them, which was people walked up, and as soon as they even got in line, they said, hey, where's your mask? And they're like, you're not coming in without a mask. So
at the Nike store?
Well, I don't remember if it was Nike or if it was one of the other ones, but somebody walked up and they were like, hey, excuse me, hey, how you doing? Do you have a mask? Because like three people in their group had one and one didn't. And they're like, hey, notice these guys have masks. Do you have a mask? Like they were just being nice about it. And so I've already seen a shift. I've seen a lot of people at shops that I hadn't seen them at before. I have seen a big difference in people on the road. I've seen a lot more people on the road. And I think that this condition yellow now that we're in most of the state, whatever it's going to mean, some of those changes include my favorite of all these. Now, there's the youth sports that's going to be kicking off, things like that.
Yeah, the spectators have to social distance. That's fine. The expectation.
You typically don't have enough people at these. I mean, it's very easy to, right? You can spread yourself out.
And you're not going to sit down within, touching distance of another stranger parent.
Sure, sure.
Anyway.
So my favorite one, though, is that when it comes to hotel buffets, hotels are going to resume offering the self-serve buffets, which has become popular at some of these, Hampton Inn kind of travel-wise.
That's right. You want to have the breakfast, the continental breakfast.
You roll up, and somebody's already put it out there for you. You just go dish yourself up those powdered eggs or whatever.
You can put some toast in the toaster.
Yes, yes.
And you can, do all that stuff. So that's
Ethan,
I'm curious to know what the rule is for the buffet.
The regular buffet. Well, but you think about it. Self-serve buffets are what buffets are. Almost always. Here's what I'll love. If you get to the buffet, and now the guy who cuts the roast beef off, he's not there. There's just a knife. And then your free will as to how thick you want to cut the piece of roast beef.
You grab that fork, you shove it into the side, you pick it up, and you run back to the table shouting, social distance! Now, I don't know what the rules are, and I looked for them. I looked and I thought, well, what about regular buffets? And maybe the difference is the hotel self-serve buffets are going to be smaller. They're going to be fewer utensils and also fewer people. They might only have a few dozen people hit up the breakfast buffet in the morning, whereas a larger buffet, they might have 1,000 in a day. I don't know, but if I were 1,000 people, I could go to a buffet 1,000 times. So, it seems reasonable to me to think that they could have 1,000 people roll through in a day.
Well,
the rules are still.
Yeah, the self-service hotel buffet, there aren't a lot of people staying at hotels right now anyway. And, I've never seen it really packed inside of those anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
But now, Alex, your big buffets, your I don't know. I don't know when Chuck-O-Rama's going to go back to when I can get all the ice cream I can eat. Come on, man.
I'm glad to hear that people were, looking for masks and controlling for masks. And there's been a big reaction. No one wants to be told. No one wants to be ordered to wear a mask.
Right.
But, part of being free to make your own choices is also embracing the personal responsibility. And the easiest way to not have to be told is to just do what you know is right in the first place. And then no one has to tell you, and you don't have to get offended that someone had to tell you what the right thing to do was.
Right.
Because I think a lot of times when people react so violently, and there have been some people that react violently.
How many viral videos have we seen of somebody going, yeah, tell me to put my mask on, and they're getting shoved out the door of a restaurant?
I think it's the same reaction that kids have when you call them out on something that they know they were supposed to do.
So the big ones are,
it's a kind of a guilt thing. Right. They're like, oh man, I really should have, and I blew it. And some people though lash out and they say things like, well, I'm not going to do it. The governor can't push me around, or, they take a swing at the Target employee. And the easiest way to get through all this is the masks. And the quicker we all come to terms with that, then the better it's going to be for everyone. The more open we can keep the economy.
Look, I got a good looking face. All right, I'm just going to say
you're a handsome
that.
Man,
and I hate covering it up with the mask. But if I can
cover
do
it up with a beard for 30 years,
if I can do it, everybody else can do it too. So,
rare beauty like Alex Curie, so can wear the mask.
There are all sorts of places you can go online. Look, Comedy Sports, which is a place that I used to do some improv comedy at. They're open for live shows on Friday and Saturday night. They're limiting seats available. They're also live streaming shows on Facebook still, so you can keep doing that. Wise Guys also reopening it the same way. They're doing they're reducing capacity of each show by 65%, so you're going to have a lot of room to kind of. But still, Hogle Zoo, the Living Planetarium, the Loveland Living Planetarium, Thanksgiving Point is now reopening as well on May 15th, which is that's today. And Tracy Aviary, we've already heard, has been opening up, but you've got different places that are still showing movies. And the private movie, private family movie screenings, that's still happening for people, the family members of 20 plus.
Alex,
I haven't heard of whether or not it's going to end up being if you could bring 50. If we're getting to that point, I don't have 50 family members to speak of.
I probably couldn't round up 50 total strangers.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
So, Alex, here's my question for you.
Yeah, yeah.
So we haven't had a family outing other than maybe. Taking the dogs for a walk or something like that. We haven't gone anywhere and done anything as a family since all this started. Have you thought about what that first activity is going to be for you and your family when you actually bother to take the kids out? You've been doing that all along?
We've been going out. Like,
you're that guy?
No. I'm just saying we don't have – they ride their bikes around the neighborhood and stuff. We've never loved all that stuff. And we used to have – season passes every year to the zoo. So, and then we moved, and it's like, my kids are not interested in going to the zoo. I don't know. I don't know what our first activity is going to be.
It might be a restaurant for us.
Yeah, I think restaurant would be a good idea.
Sit
a little
down.
Celebratory something rather with masks on. All right, we're taking the break here. We'll come back when we return to the Nightside Project. Oh, we've got some space news for you. Stay with us,
man.
On KSL News Radio.
Nightside. Nightside. We're all friends here. The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
Alex, I've got an update on one of our all-time favorite summer activities.
Oh, in your family or you and I?
No, my family. You and I have never done this together, although we'd probably have fun at Lagoon.
Oh, you know what?
They're your neighbors now.
Now I live close.
Yeah. So check this out. So they have opened up one thing, and it's a little bit unexpected. They've opened up their new beer garden restaurant. Is open. They opened it yesterday for dining and takeout. So basically, you can go to Lagoon, they'll let you in, and you can go to that area and you can eat, and you can also get takeout. The rest
of
the park
places,
isn't open.
Yeah, some of these places are doing the food thing first.
Yeah. So doing just food.
And what I was going to say was that, like, that's – I don't know how smart that is because –
Why not?
Well, I mean, opening it up is fine, but, I don't know.
It's German food.
I figured with
it's actually a kind of a combination.
I figured with the Biergarten. But the problem,
it's
good advertising, I guess, if you're like, hey, won't it be nice when all this is open around here? And like you're looking around. But, for me, when these places open up just their food part of their establishment, but the food part of the establishment is not what gets kids in the door, it might not be necessarily that big for families to be able to do it. But
I get it. So they're close though. It seems like they're close. They're basically doing it day by day, as to considering when they're going to be able to be open. But they've got some food there.
This concept via text that we just got in?
What?
All right. Tell me what you think about this.
Okay.
It says, why don't people seem to realize that wearing a mask makes you look smarter, at least to other smart people? Have you ever thought about it? I've never thought about it like. If I wear this mask, then people can't accuse me of having a low IQ now, Ethan.
Well,
finally, for once.
So there's that. I mean, by wearing the mask, you do kind of insure yourself a little bit.
Of what?
The people won't negatively judge
you.
But you
know how the mask is like the most politicized thing that we have now. It is like if you're wearing it, it's like you're submitting
really.
To the man, dude.
Well,
and then if you are wearing it, or if you are wearing it, you are you're submitting to the man, but you're also, yes, you're looked at by a lot of people like who say, yes, you are. This is a smart person. And then if you don't wear it, it's like, hey, man, solidarity, brother.
Yeah,
you and me both. Because I saw a guy today. I'm in this grocery store. Everybody, this is one of these grocery stores that's got you can't go down the same lane, the same direction, right? You've seen these with the arrows on different lanes.
Yeah, like, yeah, hey, a lot of stores do it.
Yeah, and there is a specific, like, here's your entrance, here's your exit. I'm going out the very clearly marked exit. Like, we are only going over here. And they have people going, sir, over here, ma'am. This is your entrance over here. This is your exit over here. And a guy just blatantly walks straight through the exit, grabs a cart, and walks, like, and cuts me off, no mask. Yeah. And it was like him trying to be like, I don't know what these rules are that Harmon's has, but yeah, I've got a different set of standards. And I'm like, I don't look at this as being tough. You're just being annoying to me,
well,
dude.
Well, and it's I think it betrays something, too. So you don't wear the mask out of fear. And someone texted in the other day, I don't wear a mask because I'm not sick. You should only wear a mask if you're sick. But I mean, obviously, these people all have wrong information. Because you could be spreading this virus for weeks before you show symptoms. So if you wait till you show symptoms to put on a mask, that doesn't make any sense, because once you show symptoms, you're going to stay at home anyway. So you're doing it completely wrong, and you're doing it counter to the facts. And but Alex, here's what's – so there's the bad information. Some people just have bad information, right? Well, I shouldn't have to wear it because I'm not sick. That's bad information, and that can be corrected with good information, assuming that people are open to it. There's another part of this, though, and that is that we always have a few people in society that just embrace antisocial tendency, and we're always carrying them, right? You look, for example, at the vaccines, okay? Some of the people that refuse to vaccine, they're going to get away with it because the rest of us vaccinate, right? So they're going to be fine. Similarly, there are going to be some people who don't want to wear the mask.
Sure.
They're going to be okay because the rest of us do. The problem comes when those antisocial tendencies start to be embraced by a larger and larger population. So, for example, if more and more families drop vaccinations, well, then suddenly we start to fall in the danger zone. Similarly with the mask, if more and more people ignore, you know, what they know they should be doing, then we start to increase the danger level. So I don't think we should sweat too much about the tough guys. They betray their own ignorance.
The guy who walks hard into Harmon's.
And we're
walking hard, bro.
And we've been, our society has been carrying that guy for his whole life, and we'll continue to carry him because he's never going to be a social participant and a responsible person.
Look,
so you can't do anything about that, really. We just have to make sure that that doesn't spread.
Millard.
Yeah.
I got some space news for you. What should the moon rules be? What do I mean by that? Well, now that we have a new Space Force flag that's been rolled out, and I don't know if you've seen this, but on Netflix, they're rolling out a new series starring Steve Carell based on Space Force. As soon as they heard that President Trump was actually going to go forward with Space Force, they made a TV show basically lampooning it. And but the Space Force flag has been unfurled, and as you can imagine, it looks spacey. You know, it looks spacey, military-y. You know, it's got some stars. It looks vaguely like a NASA kind of situation,
yeah,
and like an Air Force situation, kind of all mixed. I like it though. Dude, it does have a black flag, you know, so it's kind of cool. But the moon is territory that we've only been to, and
it doesn't belong to us.
But it does not belong to us. I mean,
that's
it kind of does though. Can we were first. Right.
Well, we were first, but it doesn't belong to us. And
well,
that
but
actually
the NASA's trying to figure out some rules though for everybody else
right.
to live by as we possibly get more people showing up on the moon.
And this is kind of an awkward time to do this. but the fact is that
rule number one is you've got to wear a mask as soon as you go on the moon surface.
It's not that, but sometimes there's just a bare minimum amount of cooperation with other countries that, you know, just is easier and harder depending on the season. But with the moon, what we've got to do is we've got to figure out, okay, if multiple countries are going to be on the moon, then how are we all going to behave? What are the rules for this? If you want to mine, if you want to extract resources from the moon, which I think everyone's planning for, what are the rules for that? But you know, one of the list of rules that they want to hash out, and this is, they don't have the rules set yet.
Right. That's what they want to know. They're trying to do
the Artemis Accords, and everyone's going to collaborate on this, all the different countries. But one of the things that is in there as a priority, which I'm glad for, is determining rules to protect the
moon animals,
history and heritage,
yeah,
which are the original landing sites.
You can't mess with our boots. Here's the other thing. Don't touch the – listen, there are three golf balls on the moon. I know this might be news to some other people,
mm-hmm,
but we did in fact have some astronauts in some of the Apollo landings – play like some one-handed golf or some one-armed golf. They took golf clubs up there. Originally, they thought there were only two. There were two golf balls on the surface of the moon. But apparently, there are three golf balls on the surface of the moon. Don't touch them. Those are ours, and they are space moon balls. Okay, so those are those are very important. We've got to. And look, all that stuff. I mean, it's staying untouched, of course, unless like a big, you know, a meteorite hits it or something. But this is. Yeah, don't touch all that. Don't touch our flag. We're gonna shoot a Space Force flag needs to go right next to the new America, right up to the old American flag. Come on.
No. Yeah, everyone's got to stay away from it. So we got to put a perimeter around this to preserve the original, footprints, the original equipment. We'll be glad that we did.
I want to get more moon rules from people though.
What are the moon rules?
57500.
Please do. Yeah.
We've also got just coming up in about 20 minutes here. Our famed first world problems, Ethan. So it's a Friday. We're going to do our first world problems. Only things that we here in the first world can complain about. 57500. Got more to cover here, especially when we return. I want to be able to have Ethan weigh in on some sound that an athlete said, but also some vacation club news. Disney World. How close are we to opening up? We'll tell you next. Stay with us right here. The Night Side Project continues.
Nightside. This is the Nightside Project.
This is a twisted web, and we are not finished untangling it.
Nightside on KSL. A limited edition spring season.
It's beautiful out there, Alex. Spring is in the air.
Yeah, so are your respiratory droplets, so stay away from me.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
All right, 57500 is the text line. What other rules should there be for the moon? We were just talking a couple of minutes ago about how NASA is trying to spearhead an international effort to lay down some ground rules for all of the work that we're going to do on the moon. You know, all the stuff that we might do, and we talked a little bit about that, solicited your input. What are the rules for the moon, in your opinion? Here are a few texts. Alex, here's one. This is from Daniel. Rule number one, no Tom Cruise. Rule number two, a moon basketball league.
Well,
the moon basketball league must be established.
You know why? Because we're all dunking a lot easier. You know?
Well,
so we gotta be, you got to be.
Obviously, any sort of sport that. No, see, moon basketball. Well, I guess moon basketball would be okay because you can jump high. But here's the problem, though. I'll give you two other sports that'll be much better on the moon than basketball. One is golf, right? And the other is baseball.
Yeah, baseball would be awesome. But the dunks would be great in basketball. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but you can't shoot it. It's basically
No, you can just shoot it way better. You have to just be very, very... Because it doesn't... It still comes down.
Because with the baseball, once it's out of the park, who cares where the ball goes? With golf?
Yeah, but with golf, those balls came back down.
I guess that's true.
It's enough gravitational. You're just going to have championship abilities driving that
someone,
golf ball, man.
Someone also texted in for a rule for the moon, only smoking outside in designated areas on the moon.
That's true. Yeah, you don't want to. And again, the masks that you wear on the moon are a lot different than the ones you wear here. You have to wear a P95 here, or on the moon, I mean, rather. So
yeah,
the P95. Yeah, because listen, you don't want to get anyone sick on the moon.
You don't want to breathe in contaminated air
and moon dust in general. Just not good. Yeah. All right, save your text about whether or not we can breathe.
By the way, we're looking for your first world problems as well.
Yes, we've got a bunch of those. We're going to be reading in just a little while. In the meantime, Ethan, I wanted to play a little clip for you here. During the news break, they touched on it on ABC News, but Blake Snell, who's a pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays, went on Twitch, because that's where you talk to younger people now, Ethan. You go on Twitch. And his Twitch conversation as he was playing Major League Baseball with the video game version with other people across the world, he said this about his pay cut that he'd be taking alongside a lot of these other baseball players with a shortened season. They're anticipating the possibility of a half season being played. And here's what Blake Snell had to say about it. Here we go.
Hey, man, what's wrong with you, bro? Money should not be a thing. Bro, I'm risking my life. What do you mean it should not be a thing? It 100% should be a thing. If I'm going to play, I should be getting the money I signed to be getting paid. I should not be getting half of what I'm getting paid because the season's cut in half. on top of a 33% cut of the half that's already there. So I'm really getting like 25%. On top of that, it's getting taxed. So imagine how much I'm actually making to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't making well, and on top of that, so all that money's gone. And now I play risking my life. And if I get the Rona, on top of that, if I get the Rona, guess what happens with that? Oh, yeah, that's in my body forever. That damage is not going to be, like, the damage that was done to my body, that's going to be there forever.
Right.
So now I got to play with that on top of that. So, y'all got to understand, man, for me to take a pay cut is not happening because the risk is through the roof. It's a shorter season, less pay. Like, bro, it's, yeah, man, I got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine.
There you go.
Now,
Millard, your thoughts on Adam Snell.
I'm of two thoughts here. Now, I think he's overstating the risk to his life, honestly. I really think he is. He's not playing.
Here's how you know that he's not actually that worried about the coronavirus. Like, he's like, if I get the Rona, my Sharona, then it's not. I was like, dude, you can't. Come on.
But he did make an interesting point, though, that if he got it, he could have his lungs damaged. I think he'd be expected to survive. But, yeah, people are getting damage to their lungs. And I can see how a professional athlete would be sensitive to that. If there were permanent damage to his lungs, you and I could bounce back really quickly, but maybe a professional athletic career couldn't. So I guess I sympathize with that a little bit, although I still think he's overstating the risk
Here's what I was going to say. I'll give you some background as to why he's feeling like this. This guy won the Cy Young in 2018, which is the highest accolade that a pitcher can get in the respective leagues that they're in. Okay, so he's the best pitcher in baseball in 2018. 2019, he had an okay year, but he was anticipating a massive. So really, really good ace pitchers in baseball, Ethan, can make $25 to $30 million a year.
Yeah,
no sweat. By the way, they pitch once every 5 days. So they can make that. But his contract he just signed was a 5-year, $65 million. He stands to make $7.5 million this year. He was going to make like $11 million next year and so on. It kind of stepped up over the – now, baseball contracts are guaranteed, Ethan. Mm-hmm. So at some point, he's going to be guaranteed this money even if he does get hurt. That's the thing is when baseball does come back fully, it doesn't matter in baseball what happens. Unless you breach your contract, if you get hurt playing baseball, you are paid for all of those years.
Right.
And so that's the thing is that this guy – but here's why he didn't want to take this pay cut, I think. This is the first year he was going to be really, really, really making big money.
Well,
and soon as he was about to do it, the Rona rolls in and ruins his life, Millard.
So I remember I was a kid during the big baseball strike. And I remember because I took all my cues from the adults around me. I remember just being offended to no end that these guys would be striking and they're all a bunch of millionaires and they hardly even have to lift a finger and blah, 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 blah. But I've kind of changed my tune on this.
It's because you met Scott Mitchell.
And no, it was pre-Scott Mitchell.
No, but I kind of like, but I certainly feel a different plight of the athlete now that I know Scott.
It's not a plight. Okay. It's this. I believe that we should all be paid according to our actual value to the companies where we work.
Right.
And we're not. We're paid according to how quickly and easily we can be replaced. So for the most part, we are dramatically underpaid and money is taken out of our pockets and put somewhere else, no matter how hard we work. The thing that I like about athletes is that they have been able to insist on being paid according to their value. Which means if the team is getting paid a kajillion dollars because they went out there and pitched for 5 minutes, then that money's got to go in their pocket too. They can't just say, well, you know, you're easy to replace, so you're not getting paid at all. Hmm. That's what happens to the rest of us. You know, no matter how valuable we are to our company, our employers, and this is just how it is, are always daring us, you know, double dog daring us to just leave if we don't like it. And how much do they need to pay us to keep us in the door? How little can they pay us?
The risk is trying to compare athletes to quote unquote regular jobs, right? I mean, that's the real problem. You can't, when people roll up and they go, like this text came in and said he's a privileged athlete, and if he won't play, then that's his choice. It really will be. And if he doesn't play, they're probably still going to pay him, to be honest.
Well, but here's
they're going to pay him. If he sat out, he would still get the same amount that he was going to be paid if he didn't sit out because that's what they've kind of agreed on.
But this is what athletes have been able to win for themselves. Hey, if this is the value of our work for the team, then this is our cut and we're insisting on it. And it's easy to look at him and say, well, you barely work. I mean, you don't even
you don't
even have to be in great shape, you know, to play some of these professional sports. It's a, you've got to have certain amount of abilities and things like that. But I don't think it's
like world class pitching speed. I mean, no big deal.
Well, but I mean, you know, it's not like they're out there running marathons to keep in shape and things like that. I mean,
no one's watching
marathons.
Look,
I've seen a few of these hitters, and
I know. But listen, that being said, you sliding there, you making fun of CC Sabathia being chubby on the mound is one thing. But
all I'm saying is that professional athletes have been able to insist that they get paid according to the actual value of their work, which is why they're being paid an enormous amount of money for so little work. And I wish that were the case with more industries where people are able to say, no, this is our value to the bottom line. So this is what you have to pay us. It's rare. Some unions are able to get that in some industries, but, so that's why generally I kind of support the professional athletes when they put their foot down like this. It's easy to call them babies, but you know what? The work they do is so valuable. Give them the money. It's not like the team owners don't have private jets anyway. So pay the players.
I just thought it was funny that he was so insistent that he's just like, I'm getting paid nothing this year. You got to give me my money, man.
He is overstating the danger, though.
That's
crazy. Whole business about his life.
The Rona. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're taking your personal problems. We're going to read them on the air next. So stay with us right here on KSL News Radio. It's the Nightside Project on KSL.
Nightside, you've had a long day. So have we. The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. This is the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard. He's Alex Keery. This is a special spring edition, limited edition, spring season of the Nightside Project. Thanks so much for tuning in. Alex, are you ready? Are you ready?
Oh, I mean,
for some first world problems,
I guess we are. So here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna call for some more text messages here because we had some trickling in here. But until we play, until we kind of play our intro, it's hard to really get people to get serious about it. So here, without further ado,
feeling sick from eating too much food?
Oh.
Is your AC in your car too cold? You've got first world problems.
So, first of all, problems, here's what you do. You text in the stuff that you really shouldn't be complaining about, but we'll listen to those complaints right here because
we know.
Get it. Like, even though it's easy for somebody to go, well, you know, somebody's is going through things a lot worse than you right now, that's not what you want to hear when you're complaining.
No.
You want to hear, I know what you're saying, dude, because my tomatoes weren't nearly as sweet on my custom-made salad tonight either. You know, that's the kind of thing, just stuff you have no business complaining about, and we're going to find a way to do it anyway. So, Ethan, I'm going to play some of our music, of course.
Yes.
And that music.
I've got the first one.
Oh, you've already got the first one queued up? I got to make sure I can find my music here. Oh, boy, where did it go? Oh, here we go. Gosh, it's such good music, too. That's a good backdrop. Stuff you shouldn't be complaining about, but you do anyway because we get you.
First world problem.
What do you have?
First world problem. I've gotten in too good of a shape.
Oh.
My 2-mile walking route doesn't get my heart up anymore, but I don't want to walk any further.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I get it. And heaven knows you're not going to turn into a jogger. Come on.
Ugh. Can you imagine?
Oh.
My first world problem is that I built an outdoor playset for my kids, and I'm very tired now.
Oh. Hey, but your kids are going to love it, man.
You crawl into bed, turn on the TV. You've earned a break. Take it from us.
So I've got a first world problem. We had our big TV that was downstairs was, like, never getting used. Right? And our smaller TV that's upstairs where I like to watch TV.
Yeah.
It gets more used. But I had this giant new TV downstairs. So I had to lug that giant TV upstairs by myself today to put it in the spot that I wanted it. So there you go. That's kind of stuff. Can't decide which meat to put on my Santa Maria grill first. Carne asada or the chicken thighs?
Oh,
meat shortage. Thighs. Hashtag meat shortage.
Boy, I didn't discover chicken thighs till I was an adult. Before I got
like,
to know.
You made it sound like it's inappropriate. I didn't
before
know
I got
about
to know the dark
thighs.
Meat. Before I got
so,
to
but
know.
Listen, I chicken thighs. I do the boneless, skinless chicken thigh, and you know what I do? Put it in a bag, and there's this seasoning. Lowry's has a mesquite lime marinade, and I dump that thing on there. I put a little bit of lime juice in there myself.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'll see you tomorrow. Mm. And then I put you on the grill the next day.
Oh,
and then my kids go, oh, I don't know about this meat. And I'm all, shoot, you wanted just the tenderloin. You wanted just the chicken breast and the chicken breast, the tenderloins.
Fine.
You can have that, but I'm going to eat these bad boys over here. I'll be over here by myself with my headphones on playing this music.
This exact music. all right, here's another first world problem. The stupid slow trains on 12th Street in Ogden.
Oh, is that a thing?
Apparently in Ogden it is.
I never knew about
it. Stupid slow trains.
This one just says I'm overweight. And that's an underrated first world problem. We're just like, too much food around.
Yeah. I can't stand waiting 30 seconds for my big screen TV to turn on.
What kind of big screen TV
well,
takes
you know what, though?
Seconds?
Sometimes you turn TVs on and it's like, it takes a minute.
It's just like firing up all...
It takes a minute.
All 5 trillion of those pixels have to get fired up.
Questar has to redirect some
energy.
It wouldn't be Questar.
Yeah,
it'd be
Rocky Mountain Power.
Rocky Mountain Power's got to redirect.
We got a TV. We got a big TV turning on over here in Cottonwood
turbines,
Heights.
One of the turbines up at Flaming Gorge kicks on.
Just for your dumb TV. Let me see here. Having to pay the Rona tax. It's another one we got in at 57500.
Hold on. I know this one.
What is
this
it?
One speaks to me directly. This one came in at 57500. Car AC is not cold enough on setting 2, and it's too loud on setting 3.
Yeah, you can't make that phone call on 3. What you don't want is you're in the car with somebody, and they go, are you in a wind tunnel? And you're like, oh, shoot. Like, the AC is firing right at the phone speaker. That happens to me all the time.
And sometimes you're like...
But you don't want to redirect it, because that's where that nice, cool air is coming right at my face and my neck. That's where I need it. That's where I need it.
Here's one. First world problem. This is from Brandon. The treadmill we just got is too big and too many steps away from the couch. It's too big and it's too far.
Yeah, but you know what? Just get on those chicken thighs, man.
Well, by the time you walk over to it, you don't need it anymore. You're like, well, I'm done.
Did you read this one about pinching your finger during a DIY project?
No, I did not.
I pinched my finger doing a DIY project. Now my iPhone Touch ID doesn't work.
Oh, no.
So they have like a chubby finger? Is that what they have? They have a chubby finger?
Maybe like a scrape.
Like a blood blister on where their fingernail. You know what, though? The phone Touch ID, at least on mine, you can put in like 10 different fingers. But if you're like, I don't want to go into the settings and do more of these other fingers. I don't want to have to do it, you know?
Here's one. I went to grab a Mountain Dew from the beverage cooler at the store, but they only had Diet. But see, I prefer the Diet Mountain Dew.
Now, I'm not sure what this one is. This feels like... This feels like another text message that was not intended for us. It just says, I just sent you an email. They're not giving our money back. I don't want to get into the middle of this.
Yeah.
But I also kind of would not want to know what they're talking about.
I'm curious, too.
I'm like, what is the thing?
Hey there, folk out there, Radio Land. Carl Malone here, man.
I don't know why the mailman just started weighing in without being asked about anything.
Tell Carl that we'll call him later.
First world problem, Carl Malone just randomly calling in the show.
Here's one.
Yes.
At 57500. Life is so easy, I have to manufacture physical stress to stay healthy.
We're going to... Manufacturing physical stress. I love that. That's what all gyms are. They're manufacturing their factories for physical stress.
They're recreating the original conditions out on the savannah.
They're like, hey,
for early man.
You know, they're like, hey, you know, back in medieval times, you had to farm. Now you got to do this. All right.
Okay, let's take the break. Dodge the lion. Good.
Let's take the break. When we come back, we've got more to go. Our second hour of our final show of the week. We're going to roll some of these out here for you. Your headlines. Plus, if you want to sneak in a first world problem.
Nightside. Nightside. Nightside.
This is the Nightside Project.
You know what you are?
What?
You're difficult.
Really difficult.
You.
You're a difficult man.
Nightside on KSL. A limited edition spring season.
This is why I could never be a teacher. This is hard stuff.
Yeah, that and you barely graduated college.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
That is so untrue. That's unfair to you.
What's
you
unfair to me?
You didn't just barely graduate college. You barely graduated high school.
College was
a breeze. You know what you were, Ethan? By the way, welcome back to the Nightside Project. Ethan
Thanks.
Miller, Alex Carey. You were the comeback student of the year.
Yeah, I did poorly in high school,
for sure. In sports...
But you
know what?
There
was a quarterback. His name's Kurt Warner. He played he had some potential as a pro, and then he started playing in the arena leagues because he wasn't good enough. And suddenly he comes in the NFL. He's an MVP. He's winning Super Bowls. That was you in college, man.
Well, this is, number one, I appreciate the honor of being compared to Kurt Warner.
Plus, good, faithful Christian guy like yourself, you know.
And I'll tell you, Alex, my experience in high school and then in college really informed my current philosophy that I try and use with my kids. And that is that the most important thing I think they can get out of their education is to know how to learn and to love the process of learning. Because they can always pivot. You can always pivot. And I think one of the frustrating things, and I know teachers must be frustrated with this, and I don't know what the answer is, but so many kids, they finish school determined to never pick up another book in their lives. They're like, oh, man, thank goodness I never have to do that
again.
Yeah,
it's the idea of throwing the papers in the air after
you've done it. And I think that, if you pass your algebra class, but then you never want to learn anything new, well, then you learn the wrong thing, And I'd rather see someone fail their algebra class and then walk out onto the street excited to try something new and learn something new. And that's what I'd prefer. And I try and implement that at home, but.
Let me do this. You got your headlines, right?
I've got some headlines, but I also had a thought because just right at the end of the show, we were talking about how people manufacture these experiences to stay healthy that, in the past that was part of general life.
Well, and part of it was a first world problem because the person said, my life is so easy. We have to manufacture some sort of a situation where I can get my heart rate up. Yeah.
And I wondered, and I thought about that, and I thought, we have all these things like paleo where you recreate the paveman diet.
Yeah.
Or the caveman diet to some degree. What if that was like a fitness regime being prey to some large animals?
Oh.
And you'd have to find a way to do it obviously safely and not with real large animals. But you know how they you know how you have those cycling programs where you're in your living room but you're like biking through the streets of Paris
right,
or whatever.
Yeah. You put it on the thing and it's on the big screen. I've seen the Peloton commercials where those very fit ladies are in their high-rise apartment in that corner window so everybody can see them working out. I've seen those.
So this is the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Only what you're doing is you're trekking, you are hunting and gathering. Oh, man, maybe there are some berries over here. Run, get over the berries. Just gather.
So it's like a scavenger hunt.
You can have
a really high-paid personal trainer that would hide your paycheck and your food around town. As soon as you get paid, it goes direct deposit into his account.
And you got to go get it.
Or her. And then they go, that's interesting. Yeah. They're like, Ethan, you live in Cottonwood Heights. Your paycheck is under a rock up Little Cottonwood Canyon.
No. What you do is it's $5 at a time. You got to stop it or you're looking at it. You collect it.
Oh, my goodness. That's terrible. All right. Let me see here.
It would work. That would motivate me.
It would.
If I had to chase my paycheck, I surely would.
Coming up in just a little while, we're going to have our useless Friday night Nightside quiz where you will learn a lot more than you thought you needed to learn about little things. But, Ethan, I thought this one was appropriate during can I roll out the first headline of the hour here? This is highly unorthodox, but let me just roll it out because I saw it, and I thought you could probably take a jab or two at me. A study shows that loud talking can generate over 1,000 respiratory droplets per minute. Experts say that 6 feet is still sufficient, though. Ethan, loud talkers are now considered dangerous, unmasked people. That's me! I'm a loud talker.
It's both of us.
You are too.
It's both of us.
We're in trouble.
I'm a big time loud talker.
Yeah.
In fact, sometimes when I'm playing on the Xbox late at night, I might be playing with some friends or something, and I'll get a little tap on the shoulder. Hey, can you please keep it down?
It's from your children?
No, from my wife.
It would have been better if it was Ruby. It would have been better if Ruby's all, hey, yeah, some of us
my
are trying
kids
to sleep
are like,
over here, bro.
My kids are like everyone else's kids. They sleep through anything. Yeah. No, it's and our bedroom's on the second floor, and I'm playing down Xbox down in the basement.
So but here's the thing too, because I could see Emily doing this, and I could see her having some patience, but I could also see her tapping you on the shoulder and just going, "Would you grow up? would you figure out a way to grow up?"
You know what though?
What?
Not her business.
It is very much so her business.
You're
in her house.
What I play on Xbox? No,
not play on Xbox. It's how loud. It's not just your loud talking now either. It's the thousands of respiratory droplets you're sending throughout the house.
Oh well, yeah,
after,
being carried
you're,
around.
You're the only guy going to an office during the day anyway. You're putting your family in danger, Millard.
Well, yeah, I need to. You know what? You're right. I hadn't thought about
keep
that.
Keep it down. So what you do is you go, shh, keep it down. We've got respiratory droplets, man. And then that's it. And then that's the ultimate shush on people is, hey, guess what? You got respiratory droplets. See, and I can do it in this studio. I can be super loud. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because there's nobody in here.
Well, it's a soundproof room.
Soundproof room.
No one can hear you scream.
But I got to wipe down this equipment because it looks like, I mean, it's just splattered after the show, man.
So you want some headlines?
Yes, absolutely.
I've got some headlines for you. Okay. First up, a US F-22 stealth fighter jet crashed during a routine training flight in Florida on Friday. It's according to the Air Force. The pilot has not been named, but he was able to eject safely. He was transported to a local hospital on Eglin Air Force Base. He's in stable condition. It took place on a training range 12 miles northeast of the base. They say there was no loss of life or civilian property damage. Here's the thing that was interesting, though, is that F-22 is a total loss, right?
And how much are they per unit?
Well, we only have 183 of them about.
How many?
About 180.
Oh, okay.
Which is not very many. It feels like that's not very many F-22s.
But what's the per unit cost? That's what I'm talking about.
No, I'm talking about just the number.
Well, I know there's only 183 of them. Feels like a lot, actually.
Is that enough? Is that enough to go to war with China over coronavirus? That's my question.
How much is 183 F-22? Okay, hold on. So this is the Raptor, right? So this is right now. Flyaway cost as of 2010. Unit cost, here we go. $154 million per unit. So there you go. So that's a look, the whole program cost as of 2010, Ethan, has only been $67.3 billion.
Did you know that Jeff Bezos could have bought all of the Air Force's F-22s?
Hey, who's to say he hasn't? Who's to say it's not us versus Jeff Bezos versus China? Because, look, that guy, guess who's best friends with China? The guy who ships everything from China to everybody in the United States to make all his money. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. All right, Alex, I thought that we had everyone on this planet Earth accounted for during the coronavirus, but apparently not, because up into the up onto dry land in New Zealand walked Bill Nori. He was sailing solo when he first heard of in the Southern Ocean when he first heard of the coronavirus over a month ago. He was last on dry land in Cape Town, South Africa on February 11th. He heard about coronavirus just when he was out in the middle of the ocean, and he arrived on Thursday evening, cleared customs, and has been able to get up to speed on the coronavirus pandemic. Basically, he missed the entire thing.
Don't you kind of wish you were him a little bit?
Like just I'm surprised.
Ethan, this is your dream. He was on a cruise and didn't get corona.
Yeah, but not a good cruise. That's not a good cruise, though.
Not a good cruise? Oh, my gosh.
He was by himself.
Could you imagine? I cannot imagine something. I know that other people who are inclined for the sea and, you know, the salty dogs out there, I just could not imagine being out in the middle of the black vastness of the Atlantic Ocean in the middle of the night for weeks. You know what I mean? The Pacific Ocean for months, you know, on your little sailboat. And it sounds like pure heaven to some people. That sounds like all of the movies that scared me to death, all wrapped into one. It's, you know, it's, what's it? It's Castaway, it's Jaws, it's, yeah, it's, what's the one where the, yeah, I mean, it's all, it's a Bermuda Triangle, Unsolved Mysteries shows that I've ever seen, all those things, all wrapped into one. I would be so absolutely terrified to be out there. But you know what? He didn't get coronavirus. And if you're him, what's the point of even coming home and getting up to speed? I would just be like this. You, what is it? And then they're yelling from the shore, coronavirus. And he's like, anyway. And then he puts the flag back out.
I'll loop back around.
Right.
I'll loop back around. Well, he joked that he was, quote, the safest man on the planet by being at sea while the outbreak was worsening. But that can't possibly be true because I saw that movie with Robert Redford where he ran into the shipping container.
See, I told you. All of the things that and nobody tried. Didn't no one speak in that movie for like an hour and 45 minutes?
In the Robert Redford movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yes. It's terrifying.
And you know what? He didn't even need a stupid volleyball.
To stay alive.
Which I never got into.
Millard, you didn't like Castaway?
No, I was glad that Wilson died. That was like good riddance, man. Get rid of that guy.
His opinions were always the worst. Hey, when we come back.
He was a crutch.
When we come back, we've got. I just love you're mad at this inanimate object. We've got the Nightside Useless Quiz. You want to learn stuff about things you didn't necessarily know about? Join us next on the Nightside Project on a Friday night. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll be back right around the corner.
Nightside. This is the Nightside Project.
You know what you are?
What?
You're difficult.
Really difficult.
You.
You're a difficult man.
Nightside on KSL. A limited edition spring season.
This is why I could never be a teacher. This is hard stuff.
Yeah, that and you barely graduated college.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
That is so untrue. That's unfair to you.
What's unfair to me?
You didn't just barely graduate college. You barely graduated high school.
College was
a breeze. You know what you were, Ethan? By the way, welcome back to the Nightside Project. Ethan
Thanks.
Alex Curie. You were the comeback student of the year.
Yeah, I did poorly in high school,
you're
for
like,
sure.
In sports...
But
there was a quarterback. His name's Kurt Warner. He played he had some potential as a pro, and then he started playing in the arena leagues because he wasn't good enough. And suddenly he comes in the NFL. He's an MVP. He's winning Super Bowls. That was you in college, man.
Well, this is – well, number one, I appreciate the honor of being compared to Kurt Warner.
Plus, good, faithful Christian guy like yourself, you know.
And – I'll tell you, Alex, this is that my experience in high school and then in college really informed my current philosophy that I try and use with my kids. And that is that the most important thing I think they can get out of their education is to know how to learn and to love the process of learning. Mm. Because they can always pivot. You can always pivot. And I think one of the frustrating things, and I know teachers must be frustrated with this, and I don't know what the answer is, but so many kids, they finish school determined to never pick up another book in their lives. They're like, oh, man, thank goodness I never have to do that
again. Yeah,
it's
the idea of throwing the papers in the air after
you've done
them.
And I think that, you know, if you pass your algebra class, but then you never want to learn anything new, well, then you learn the wrong thing, yeah. You know. And I'd rather see someone fail their algebra class and then walk out onto the street excited to try something new and learn something new. And that's what I'd prefer. And I try and implement that at home. But
let me do this. You got your headlines, right?
I've got some headlines, but I also had a thought because just right at the end of the show, we were talking about how people manufacture these experiences to stay healthy that, you know, in the past that was part of general life.
Well, and part of it was a first world problem because the person said, my life is so easy. We have to manufacture some sort of a situation where I can get my heart rate up. Yeah.
And I wondered, and I thought about that, and I thought, well, you know, we have all these things like paleo where you recreate the paveman diet.
Yeah.
Or the caveman diet to some degree. What if that was like a fitness regime being prey to some large animals?
Oh.
And there, you'd have to find a way to do it obviously safely and not with real large animals. But you know how they
well, then
you know
it's
how
not,
you have those
well, then
cycling.
You can't, then you can't really. But Ethan, you know how it you has have those, to be real.
You know how you have those cycling programs where you're in your living room but you're like biking through the streets of Paris,
right,
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. You put it on the thing and it's on the big screen. I've seen the Peloton commercials where those very fit ladies are in their high-rise apartment in that corner window so everybody can see them working out. I've seen those.
So this is the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Only what you're doing is you are hunting and gathering. Oh, man, maybe there are some berries over here. Run. Get over the berries. Gather.
So it's like a scavenger hunt.
Run,
you can have a really high-paid personal trainer that would hide your paycheck and your food around town. As soon as you get paid, it goes direct deposit into his account.
And you got to go get it.
Or her. And then they go, that's interesting. Yeah. They're like, Ethan, you live in Cottonwood Heights. Your paycheck is under a rock up Little Cottonwood Canyon.
No. What you do is it's $5 at a time. You got to stop every you're looking at it. You collect it.
Oh, my goodness. That's terrible. All right. Let me see here.
It would work. That would motivate me.
It would.
If I had to chase my paycheck, I surely would.
Coming up in just a little while, we're going to have our useless Friday night Nightside quiz where you will learn a lot more than you thought you needed to learn about little things. But Ethan, I thought this one was appropriate during – can I roll out the first headline of the hour here? This is highly unorthodox, but let me just roll it out because I saw it, and I thought you could probably take a jab or two at me. A study shows that loud talking can generate over 1,000 respiratory droplets per minute. Experts say that 6 feet is still sufficient, though. Ethan, loud talkers are now considered dangerous, unmasked people. That's me! I'm a loud talker.
It's both of us.
You are too.
It's both of us.
We're in trouble.
I'm a big time loud talker.
Yeah.
In fact, sometimes when I'm playing on the Xbox late at night, I might be playing with some friends or something, and I'll get a little tap on the shoulder. Hey, can you please keep it down?
It's from your children?
No, from my wife.
It would have been better if it was Ruby. It would have been better if Ruby's all, hey, yeah, some of us
my
are trying
kids
to sleep
are like,
over here, bro.
My kids are like everyone else's kids. They sleep through anything. Yeah. No, it's and our bedroom's on the second floor, and I'm playing down Xbox down in the basement.
But here's the thing too, because I could see Emily doing this, and I could see her having some patience, but I could also see her tapping you on the shoulder and just going, "Would you grow up? would you figure out a way to grow up?"
You know what though?
What?
Not her business.
It is very much so her business.
What I play on Xbox?
Not play on Xbox. It's how loud. It's not just your loud talking now either. It's the thousands of respiratory droplets you're sending throughout the house.
Oh well, yeah.
After,
being carried around.
You're the only guy going to an office during the day anyway. You're putting your family in danger, Millard.
Well, yeah. I need to. You know what? You're right. I hadn't thought about
keep
that.
Keep it down. So what you do is you go, shh, keep it down. We got respiratory droplets, man. And then that's it. And then that's the ultimate shush on people is, hey, guess what? You got respiratory droplets. See, and I can do it in this studio. I can be super loud. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because there's nobody in here.
Well, it's a soundproof room.
No
one can hear
here.
You scream.
But I got to wipe down this equipment because it looks like, I mean, it's splattered after the show, man.
So you want some headlines?
Yes, absolutely.
I've got some headlines for you. Okay. First up, a US F-22 stealth fighter jet crashed during a routine training flight in Florida on Friday. It's according to the Air Force. The pilot has not been named, but he was able to eject safely. He was transported to a local hospital on Eglin Air Force Base. He's in stable condition. It took place on a training range 12 miles northeast of the base. East of the base. They say there was no loss of life or civilian property damage. Here's the thing that was interesting, though, is that F-22 is a total loss, right?
And how much are they per unit?
Well, we only have 183 of them about.
How many?
About 180.
Oh, okay.
Which is not very many. It feels like that's not very many F-22s.
But what's the per unit cost? That's what I'm talking about.
No, I'm talking about just the number.
Well, I know there's only 183 of them. Feels like a lot, actually.
Is that enough? Is that enough to go to war with China over coronavirus? That's my question.
How much is an 183 F-22? Okay, hold on. So this is the Raptor, right? So this is right now. Flyaway cost as of 2010. Unit cost, here we go. $154 million per unit. So there you go. So that's a look, the whole program cost as of 2010, Ethan, has only been $67.3 billion.
Did you know? Did you know that Jeff Bezos could have bought all of the Air Force's F-22s?
Hey, who's to say he hasn't? Who's to say it's not us versus Jeff Bezos versus China? Because look, that guy. Guess who's best friends with China? The guy who ships everything from China to everybody in the United States to make all his money. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. All right, Alex, I thought that we had everyone on this planet Earth accounted for during the coronavirus, but apparently not, because up into the up onto dry land in New Zealand walked Bill Nori. He was sailing solo when he first heard of in the Southern Ocean, when he first heard of the coronavirus over a month ago. He was last on dry land in Cape Town, South Africa on February 11th. He heard about coronavirus just when he was out in the middle of the ocean, and he arrived on Thursday evening, cleared customs, and has been able to get up to speed on the coronavirus pandemic. Basically, he missed the entire thing.
Don't you kind of wish you were him a little bit?
Like just I'm surprised.
Ethan, this is your dream. He was on a cruise and didn't get corona.
Yeah, but not a good cruise. That's not a good
not
cruise,
a good
though.
Cruise. Oh, my gosh.
He's by himself.
Could you imagine? I cannot imagine something. I know that other people who are inclined for the sea and, you know, the salty dogs out there. I just could not imagine being out in the middle of the black vastness of the Atlantic Ocean in the middle of the night for weeks. You know what I mean? The Pacific Ocean for months, you know, on your little sailboat. And it sounds like pure heaven to some people. That sounds like all of the movies that scared me to death, all wrapped into one. It's, you know, it's, what's it? It's Castaway. It's Jaws. It's, it's, what's the one where the, yeah, I mean, it's the Bermuda Triangle, Unsolved Mysteries shows that I've ever seen, all those things, all wrapped into one. I would be so absolutely terrified to be out there. But you know what? He didn't get coronavirus. And if you're him, what's the point of even coming home and getting up to speed? I would just be like this. What is it? And then they're yelling from the shore, coronavirus. And he's like, anyway. And then he puts the flag back out.
I'll loop back around.
Right.
I'll loop back around. Well, he joked that he was, quote, the safest man on the planet by being at sea while the outbreak was worsening. But that can't possibly be true because I saw that movie with Robert Redford where he ran into the shipping container.
See, I told you. All of the things that and nobody tried didn't no one speak in that movie for like an hour and 45 minutes?
In the Robert Redford movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yes. It's terrifying.
And you know what? He didn't even need a stupid volleyball
to stay alive,
which I never got into.
Millard, you didn't like Castaway?
No, I was glad that Wilson died. That was like good riddance, man. Get rid of that guy.
His opinions were always the worst. Hey, when we come back.
He was a crutch.
When we come back, we've got. I just love you're mad at this inanimate object. We've got the Nightside Useless Quiz. You want to learn stuff about things you didn't necessarily know about? Join us next on the Nightside Project on a Friday night. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll be back right around the corner.
Nightside, credibility, also absurd news. The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Ethan Millard. He's Alex Keery. This is the Nightside Project special limited time spring edition, spring season.
You tried to make us like a packet of like different flavored Oreos.
Limited new edition.
Limited edition for limited time only for
new special blue
time.
Colors. I got a couple of texts here related to apparently we touched on the most controversial item of the night. Brian texted in, it doesn't surprise me that Ethan is the one that doesn't like Castaway. He's one taco short of a combination platter.
I'm glad that you read that. I was about to read it. And I thought, I'll be attacked.
You didn't want to be accused of being a bully.
I love the idea of you being a one taco short of a combination.
Look, I'm not one taco short of anything, and I've got these extra 20 pounds to prove it. And then Daniel texted in, well, after that segment, I don't see anyone calling Alex the bully tonight. Poor Wilson.
Remember, out of all the movie characters to attack, the one that didn't say or do anything and then floated away.
Well, that's the one that elicits all this sympathy, too. Look, Daniel, I didn't kill the volleyball Wilson. I just cheered it on, and I know why they did it. Someone, they had to get that out of there. What was he going to do, go home with it?
It's great stuff. Good stuff. Speaking of good stuff, this is a total experimental thing we're going to be doing on the program right now.
Right. So, experimental radio.
No, it's not experimental radio. But we're doing a totally useless, not good for anything nightside quiz. And I'm going to roll out these questions, and they're based off of absolutely useless pieces of trivia. Okay. But I'm going to see what Ethan knows of useless trivia. And at the very end of it all, I think we're going to all walk away a little bit smarter and a little bit of something to walk home and maybe tell your kids. Gather around, kids. I learned something on the Nightside Project tonight. So this could be the system for that. Ethan, let's go with this one. The zip code that we all live in. The term ZIP stands for what? It's actually an acronym.
Is it really?
ZIP stand for?
Oh, I don't even know where to begin.
I know.
Zebra, would you? Zoo. I'm trying to think of all the Z
just
words
say
Z I know.
Words. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Zipper.
Yeah, zipper. That was a good one.
You know three Z words.
I don't know many more than that.
Okay. The ZIP and zip code. ZIP stands for ZIP, Zone Improvement Plan.
Oh, zone.
That's the fourth of all the English Z letters or Z words. That's right.
So obvious.
Zone Improvement Plan.
Okay.
So that's something that we didn't actually do.
No, I had no idea. I didn't realize it was an acronym.
So let me see here. Ethan, so this man, you may not have actually known his name, but his name is Frank Oz.
Oh, yes. Okay, I've heard of this name before. Keep going.
Okay, Frank Oz is known for being the voice of Master Yoda.
Okay.
You're like, this is
I would not have come up with that, but.
What other iconic character or characters does he voice?
Frank Oz.
Mm. I'm
trying to think of who might be like Yoda. Kermit the Frog? Did he do Kermit the Frog?
No.
Oh. Who else sounds like Yoda? I'm just going to assume that's the only voice he really did some variation of that.
No. You're close, actually. You are close.
Is it? No, I'm not close.
Yes, you are.
Well, I don't know. Fozzie?
Fozzie
close. Bear? Fozzie
you're,
the
you're,
Bear?
You are like my kids looking for Easter eggs, and they're like
standing right in front of it?
Besides Yoda, Oz voiced Cookie Monster and Miss Piggy. As well.
Miss Piggy.
Just think about how
frog. You can see it. She's got that. Yeah. No, I totally believe that. Because both Yoda and Piggy have that. Yeah.
Why does there always have to be songs about rainbows? Is that a
frog?
All right. So there's that one.
Well, this is great. I'm loving these.
I know.
Hit me.
Ethan.
Yeah.
This animal is an honorary colonel-in-chief of the Norwegian King's Guard. His name is Sir Nils Olav. This animal. Honorary colonel-in-chief of the Norwegian King's Guard.
This sounds, you know what this is.
What?
This is the storyline for Frozen 3. Is it?
It's a snowman. You got it.
Is it a reindeer?
It's not a reindeer. Sir Nils Olav is a penguin who is the honorary colonel in chief of the Norwegian.
I was going to go King's polar Guard. Bear next.
Yeah. Let me see here. Ethan, you're a lover of the English language.
Well, I've been speaking it my whole life, if that's
so
what you
here
mean.
Here it goes. The longest English word to have only a single vowel is?
To have only a single vowel.
Longest word in the English language that only has one vowel.
Now, is it one single vowel or one
not
vowel
one,
repeated?
Not one. It's one single one.
One single one.
And it's not. Yeah. And I'll give you a hint, too.
Okay.
It's only one syllable as well. When you only have one vowel. That's kind of what you're going with.
So,
nine letters long.
My mind went straight to aardvark, but that has
that has a lot. It has like 19 in it.
Yeah,
aardvark.
But they're all the same. That's why I asked that question.
All right.
Aardvark, vacuum. Mm-hmm. Vacuum's two syllables.
Yeah, that's two syllables.
One
single one.
Ant. Is it ant?
The word is strengths.
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 Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. That's pretty good trivia. That's really good trivia.
Yeah, so strengths.
Strengths.
Huh. Let's see here.
I got to write that down. That's great trivia.
Ethan, we're still going on our useless quiz here. This animal was once classified by the Catholic Church as a fish and may be eaten during Lent.
But it's not actually a fish?
I mean...
So it's an animal.
It is classified as a fish by the Catholic Church during Lent. Time is working against you.
Is it a whale? I'm trying to think of what might be like,
Ethan,
a fish, but not technically.
You can't eat whales, dude. Come
on.
Well,
but in the past you could. Like,
this
back
is currently
in the day.
Still a Lenten meal.
Is it penguin? Are we back to penguins?
It's not a penguin because that is.
Penguins swim.
That is a swim. That's a really good guess. That's actually a really good guess. At one point, Ethan, beavers were considered lentil okay, but they are not anymore. But capybaras, still considered.
The giant rats?
Yes.
Now, that's a weird thing. Fish and enormous rats.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And I'll tell you what, in Central America and in the northern parts of South America, capybaras are eaten and so are guinea pigs in large amounts.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I knew about the guinea pigs. I didn't know that people ate the capybaras.
Ethan.
Which, they're cute. I feel bad.
Ethan, this is a fun one, and this is actually okay. What is the opposite of the word disgruntled?
Gruntled.
It's true. It's a real
is
word.
Is it really?
Gruntled is a word. It means pleased, satisfied, contented. So could you imagine going into some place and go, and like, let's say you have that first meal back from the Rona, and you have your buffet that you first eat, and you go, oh, I'm so gruntled right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Yeah, Ethan, let's go back to voice.
Great trivia.
Ethan, let's go back to voiceover stuff real quick.
Okay.
The man who sang "You're the Mean One," Mr. Grinch.
Mm-hmm.
Also voiced this iconic cartoon character.
Hmm. Oh, geez, I don't even know where to begin.
Mm.
I'm going to say that it's a Warner Brothers, and I'm going to say it was.
All right, I'll go ahead and do it for you. It's Tony the Tiger. They're great. Same guy.
Really?
They're the same guy.
I never would have gotten there. We would have been here for an hour.
Ethan,
you put me out. Thank you for putting me out of my misery on that one.
Ethan, this bush accounts for 17% of the total surface area of Sweden.
This bush?
This bush covers 17% of all the land of Sweden.
So let me think. What do I know about Sweden?
Mm.
Swedish fish.
Yeah, yep.
Swedish detective stories.
Got it.
Is it the rose bush?
It is the blueberry bush.
And finally,
Ethan, for all the money, how many ridges are there on an American quarter?
How many ridges?
Yes.
Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
no!
7. I'm going to say there are 125 ridges.
Ethan, you're very close. 119 ridges on the American quarter.
This was fun.
Congratulations.
I love two things. Number one, I loved the interesting information.
Yes.
Number two, I loved that for about 5 minutes, the attention was completely on me. I loved that. I adored it.
Come back to more narcissistic feelings here on the Nightside Project. We'll come back after news, traffic, and weather. We've got a couple more segments to go this evening, including the party that they want to hold up in Kaysville. It's going to be amazing. We think. Stay with us. More to go. The Nightside Project continues.
Nightside.
This is the Nightside Project. As long as I'm with you guys, I'm always in the fake good place.
Nightside on KSL, a limited edition spring season.
It's weird, though, doing the show while we're miles apart.
That's actually my favorite part. I cannot social distance myself from you enough.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey, streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
All right, just a few segments to go here on the Nightside Project on this Friday night. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ethan Millard. He's Alex Keery. We're having fun tonight. We're having a great time.
A couple of trivia things I didn't get to sneak in, though, Ethan. You ready?
Oh, you have a few? All right. Well, I just wanted to invite people. They can always touch base with us via text, 57500.
You have Ty agreeing with you, though. He's like, I agree with Ethan.
on Wilson.
Wilson can take a long walk off a short pier.
Or in his case, a long roll.
You know what? He was underpaid, though, for that role. For being in the movie as much as he was, didn't get real SAG fees.
You know what I want to? What I'm kind of curious to know is who got that prop? Like, who took Wilson home?
I wonder if
it was Tom Cruise.
You know Tom Cruise? Why would he get it?
Because he deserves all the props.
just Tom Cruise? You're not a part of this movie.
All props to Tom Cruise.
You're not a part of this movie, but we sent you this because it's the most
Tom
important
Hanks.
Prop
you know
movie.
I meant Tom Hanks.
I know, but your dumb Freudian slips, bro.
Hey, look, I accidentally fumbled and I uttered the name of America's greatest living actor, Tom Cruise. So sue me.
Ethan, so here are a couple that I did not get to. Some people believe that there are more tigers held captive in Texas than there are in all the world's wildernesses combined. It's estimated that there are more trees on Earth than there are stars in the Milky Way. Does that surprise you?
Hey, that cannot possibly be true.
3 trillion trees they estimate on planet Earth versus between 200 and 400 billion stars in the Milky Way.
Huh.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that actually really surprises me.
Wombats poop in a cube shape.
Wombats.
Yeah, they do.
Fake animal.
Star Wars came out. France was still using the guillotine to execute people. Let me see here. I'm not going to put this. I'm not going to say this one. It's immature.
Well, you can't read it, laugh, and then say you're not going to read it.
63 planet Earths can fit in Uranus. So there you go.
You mean the planet. Grow up.
I do mean the planet.
All right. 57500 is the text. Alex.
I told you not to text me. Don't do this to me. Hey, Millard, I got a song to play for you. All right? Okay. It's a little something special I want to play for you. This one goes out to all the people in Kaysville. Maybe it's been a long summer.
Well, I know I disappeared a time or two.
From March to June.
And along the way, I lost me and you.
Ah, so deep.
I needed a new town for my new start.
How about Kaysville?
What is this song?
Selling VCRs in Arkansas at a Walmart.
Ethan, this is young, now old Colin Ray. He was the artist in question. He's going to be playing up in Kaysville. At the Barnes Park. This is who's going to be playing up there jamming. Kaysville has decided that they're going to have an outdoor concert, and Colin Ray's going to be the guy, and he's going to be filling up the sounds of the park there, Kaysville. Now, and listen, this is my neck of the woods now, Ethan.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
you going to go?
Well, I'm going to go protest. Oh, it's so beautiful. Can you hear this? Now, listen, Kaysville's having a struggle here because their mayor, she's running for the 4th congressional seat. She's running for Rob Bishop's. Yes, that's District 1. So she's taking some heat up in Kaysville. If you're talking about Colin Ray, you got caught, Kaysville.
Maybe her running for Congress is kind of part of this because
a lot of people are blaming that on this
because, you know, she might just be getting aggressive like this because she thinks it's going to play to the Republicans right now. I don't know. But if she's going to do this and it's an honest community effort, then we ought to be able to know that there are some kind of precautions in place, right? What's her plan for getting this many people together?
The plan is this. It's people have quite a bit of a problem with this because this concert that's being planned will also require for the city council to get together and actually make a sound ordinance they'll have to make a one-time sort of, hey, we're okay to have this this giant concert in the park. But they say, we're allowing the concert to occur as to go forward, and it's a First Amendment issue, according to her. So the aim of the May 30th event, she went on, is to, quote, create a space where participants can safely express their opinions and be able to freely assemble. Is that what
this is a campaign thing.
That's what you pictured for the Colin Ray concert, is that she's like, I want us to all be able to get together.
And someone texted in a clarification here, which is good because this wasn't clear to me.
Yeah, why?
It says Kaysville is not sponsoring this concert. They are allowing a group to exercise their First Amendment rights in a protest concert.
Right. She's not doing it, but I'm just saying Kaysville City is allowing it, right?
Well, so are they, I mean, are they going to ask people to wear masks at least?
Just to be quite honest with you.
Probably not.
I don't think it's as, this feels like a concert where no one would be wearing a mask. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
This feels like a concert normal.
Well, this is a
because
kind of
this
thing.
Is. I'm not saying Davis County. Since living there over the past month and a half,
are they wearing masks up there?
It's spotty. It's not as bad as I've seen in Utah County, where people are like, whatever. But in a lot of cases, but I do think that if you're doing a concert where the whole thing is we're getting together to stand up for our rights, you're going to get a lot of non-mask wearing.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you can't maybe wear a mask, that's oppressive or whatever.
Which is,
hold on,
yeah,
listen to these.
Which is too bad, because if you're...
I couldn't hear you, Ethan. I'm solid
as a stone, baby. I firmly believe that you can't talk about rights without also talking about responsibilities. And if it's your right to do this, that you're also your responsibility to be responsible about it and to be... You know, aware of what's happening.
It seems like I'm all for figuring it out. You know what
I mean?
Yeah,
we have to figure. They're not figuring it out. That's the thing. They're not figuring it out.
They're holding this event. Colin Ray is going to be singing his tune there, and but they're wondering if it's actually. I mean, the whole idea is they're putting this concert on, and the organizer has been putting together already. Has already been kind of hit with having these other quote unquote irresponsible gatherings during this time, and so. Getting the country singer Colin Ray to come to Barnes Park, they think could break government directives that are still going on at that point that prevent large gatherings. Because we're still at, what, 50 people?
Yeah.
And so even if we're yellow at that point on May 30th, I mean, I just think that it if you try to say that this is a First Amendment issue, I have not once thought to myself – well, you got to let these people not wear masks. They've got First Amendment rights, Ethan. They can gather together and they can take their masks off together.
Rights and responsibilities go hand in hand in America. That's just part of it. And they gotta be responsible here, and they gotta take responsibility for themselves because you know when you do things like this, you're basically saying I rely on everyone else to do the right thing so that I can do the wrong thing. And that's not being very responsible. I mean, you might have the right to make that decision.
This next song goes out to Kaysville Mayor. Kelsey Witt, Katie Witt. Well, I know Katie Witt.
You may have the right to make that decision, but you've got to think about your responsibility also. Those go hand in hand in America.
So the whole thing is that
it's too bad that you're not thinking about that.
They're saying businesses are being affected. Obviously, businesses are being affected. Nobody disagrees with that. But we're scared literally to death, like, about this. We're really wondering how we're going to make this happen. And so here's the thing. We've been doing this slow rollout. And the state of Utah, I think, has been pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
Would you agree with, like,
with
this mix of trying to appease what these businesses are trying to still pull off and what they're still trying to do versus – but also still saying, you guys – please wear masks, please. I think for the state being as reasonable as it is, this is a weird hill to die on. Please don't die there.
It is a weird one. And the frustrating thing is that for those of us who are aware of our responsibility and who have embraced it, we're going to work hard. We're going to keep working hard, trying to keep ourselves and our family safe, trying to keep it from spreading. We're probably not going to have a vaccine by the winter, and that means that we could very well, most likely, see. And everyone thinks that there's going to be a second wave of this, and that means that we're going to have a hard time staying safe because all these other guys blew it off. Let's just do it all together and keep the economy open. That seems to be the smart thing to do, but I don't know why we can't all get on the same page with this.
All right, we're going to take a break here, Millard. When we come back. Final segment of the show, final segment of the week. We're going to talk about what we learned in the program. 57500. Tell us what you learned. We'll have some Zen headlines. Thanks to Ethan Millard. We'll come right back. More to go. KSL News Radio. It's the Nightside Project.
Nightside. We're all friends here.
The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
All right. Welcome to the Nightside Project, our final segment here. What did you learn on the Nightside Project tonight? At 57500 is the number. What did you learn tonight? Alex, I'm going to tell you that I've been doing a little bit of research during the breaks trying to find out what happened to the original Wilson from Castaway. And I learned that there were actually three Wilsons. They actually used three balls in the filming of the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So does Tom Cruise have all three of them? Or
I can't figure that out. One of them was sold on an online auction.
How much?
It sold for over $18,000.
Wow. Well, they were selling them at the grocery store when I went in like 3 months ago. I'm not kidding. Josh is laughing at me. This is not a joke. We don't joke about this kind of stuff. They sold them like because they're Wilson volleyballs and the outdoor. You know, outdoor participation in sports is increased, you know, in your backyard.
Yeah.
And they've sold them, and they have that dumb hand smear on them and everything.
Yeah.
This is Smith's. I'm not going to lie about it.
Alex, let's get some music going. We got First World Problems, and I got a Zen headline.
That's right. I'm sorry. That was my responsibility, and I blew it, Ethan, so I want to apologize from the deepest parts.
Don't apologize to me. Apologize to Kevin.
Like I even want to talk to that guy.
This is his station. Tonight I learned what ZIP stands for.
Oh, shoot. Did you already forget?
Zone something.
Zone Improvement Plan.
Zone Improvement Plan for zip code. Here's another one. Frank Oz was also the voice of Grover on Sesame Street. That's what learned.
Yeah.
Bergen texted in. Good to hear from Bergen. I learned Alex does a mean Kermit. Wow. Good job, Alex. And I learned that listening to Alex describe covering his equipment with respiratory droplets is the most unappetizing thing ever. Should have him over for dinner. Have Mr. Loud Talker himself set him down at the end of the table.
Pass that soup over here. Oh, I'm a loud talker.
I've got a great Zen headline. Now, I got a little husband and wife 1-2 punch here for Zen headlines. I got from Monkey Ben and from Chica. And I thought to myself, well, who should go first, right? Out of the two of them.
Yeah.
So I'll do one tonight and I'll do one Monday.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, well, obviously Chica goes first, right?
Well, because Unky Ben puts his 2 cents in all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a great story from Chica. Thanks so much for sharing it with us. It is the story of Hamako Mori, who has officially been recognized as the oldest gaming YouTuber. She was born on the 18th of February in 1930. She's 90 years old, and her YouTube channel currently has over 150,000 survivors, subscribers.
I hope it's 100% survivor.
And it's because she posts videos of herself playing video games. Now, here's the thing. She's not a Johnny-come-lately. She started playing video games 39 years ago. She became interested in them when she saw children playing them. She thought, hey, this is fun. She's actually kept all the games and all the consoles she's had since then. It's 40 years now, almost. And her go-to console is a PlayStation 4. And she says she's into action games. She says this, I didn't touch it until recently because it's difficult to play, but recent action games, this is a quote from this woman, are visually spectacular, and they often use actors for characters, so I'm really obsessed with it now. Her favorite game right now is Grand Theft Auto 5. She says it's like watching a film. So there you go.
I would say that, but here's the thing, though, is that I got the F1 video game.
The Formula cars?
One racing game. Yeah. And it is 100%.
Not violent enough?
No. It is 100%. It is so good.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
great games.
It's crazy how good they are. I used to have on the old Xbox the Forza Motorsport. Remember when that series first came out? I was like, man, they've made these cars so detailed. But now these, I get jealous though, because then you'll see people playing online and they'll have their setup for playing the F1 game. And it's literally like the pro steering wheel that they use in these cars, and they have like the cockpit they're sitting in.
Yeah,
they're wearing like the shoes and stuff to shift. I can't really hang with that.
I learned that if I go down to Alberto's and order the number 11, my platter may be missing an Ethan. Yes, you'll be missing a taco out of that. I learned that I need to tune in earlier for First World Problems. And we're taking these at 57500, all of your what you learned on the show tonight. And here's one. I would have easily believed, this is from Ty, I would have easily believed Alex about the Wilson balls, but after he insisted that he, quote, wasn't lying half a dozen times, I'm no longer sure.
Well, it's because Josh is looking at me weird. Well, look it up. They'll sell them to you. It's
Josh online. Josh is not the boss of you.
Well, I can't tell what's going on his face either because he's got a mask on and I don't know. It's a whole room full of millennials. I don't trust any of them. That's what I'm saying. They're all in a room. They've all got masks on.
You're right to not trust them.
Yeah. I just don't know.
You're right.
This one says, did you read the one about me describing I learned that listening to Alex describe covering his equipment in respiratory droplets.
Yeah, I did that one. That's one where we invited you to their house for dinner.
Well, no, listen. Oh, that's why I'm, because I've gotten a lot of flack for this, but I'm not going to apologize for my. They also said singing, Ethan. They said there was a choir who, like, out of the 50 members of the choir, like 7 people of this church choir back east, 7 of them died. This is where you're singing around each other. You're just spreading respiratory droplets.
Yeah, there are a few states there in the east where their initial breakout was in church groups, for sure. Yeah, you know, before we went into like the lockdowns and things like that, when we were just starting to learn about it, we were caught flat-footed because the U.S. government had no tracing plan in place, and we had no.
It only took us the whole show. We finally heard it. We don't have a good enough tracing track program.
That's why this happened. I learned I love you guys. #  Ethan hates Wilson. I don't hate Wilson. I'm just glad that he fell off the raft.
Ah, okay.
All right. And floated away and was maybe eaten by a shark. But I don't hate Wilson.
I'm gonna call it right here.
Okay.
Time of death of the show, 7:59:48. We're going to come back next week. We'll be back with the Nightside Project on Monday. We'll see you then, everybody.
KSL FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.